$1,000. So thank you very much for everything.
And our offering today is for one great hour of sharing. So there should be an insert in your bulletin, so I invite you to read about it and see where this money will go. Okay, thank you. May we continue in worship.
Good morning. I am Sarah Nita, and I'm your liturgist today. Please join us in the call to worship. Like Jesus, we are challenged to turn over the tables of hatred and injustice. O Lord, for the seemingly impossible challenge of loving both our neighbors and those who wish to harm us. Help us, O Lord, to search our hearts and root out those areas in our lives that further divide us within what Martin Luther King Jr. called the world house. We can no longer afford to bow before the altar of retaliation. We thank you, O Lord, for your steadfast love that endures, even when we fail to care for all that you created.
Good morning, church. My name is Melanie Oliver. I'm the Christian Education Director here at FUMC. And as the children are coming on up, I would like to say a big thank you. It seems like we were just here a few hours ago, and oh, we were. I'm very well aware that a portion of the money raised at our big fundraisers goes to support the children and youth of this church. And so just a big, giant thank you to all of you who give and support in many, many ways. But monetarily, I'm thanking you for that today. Hi, kids. How are you guys? Have a seat. Somebody tell me one of your rules at home if you're going to go to somebody else's house. What do your parents say? What do they say? What does your mom say? You have to clean your room. Oh, like if somebody's coming to your house? Yeah. Clean up your room. What else? If you're going to go to somebody else's, if you go to your grandma's house, are there special rules? Does your mom say behave? Be good. Yeah. What else? Okay, so you guys balance it out. You all offer the quiet,
yeah. And
the boys offer the loud.
When we go to the Chuck E. Cheese for their birthday, she'll not like that.
Oh, okay. So we want to have good manners, right? Now, are there special things we do in the sanctuary, in this room here? What special things do we do here? Are there special rules in this room? What are special rules? To believe in God? Yeah, and you know, God teaches us about love, right? So if we believe in God, we believe in love. And so we should act in love with each other. That's right.
Love each other.
That's right. So when Jesus was a man and he was in the prime of his ministry, he walked into the sanctuary one day and got really super angry. Why do you think Jesus would be mad if he walked into church? That doesn't sound right, does it?
No.
What do you think was going on in the church? What do you think was going on?
Everybody was loud.
Sometimes we're loud. What else do you think?
People in the church were misbehaving.
Yeah, they were selling stuff in the church. Like they were saying that money was more important than why we come into this room. And why are we here on Sunday mornings? Why are we here? Do you know?
To learn about God.
To learn about God. To worship God. While we sit with our church family and share that experience to worship and pray, that's the reason we're here, right? Sometimes your parents say, got to go to church today, and that's okay because it's our turn to do what we're supposed to do, right? Here, come sit with me. All right, yeah.
To trust God.
To trust God, yeah. Those sound like fun rules to me. Okay, grab the hand of the person next to you before we go to godly play. Okay. Dear God, thank you for these kiddos. Thank you for the rules that keep us in line with the people you want us to be. Thank you for always showing your love and help us to show that to others. Help us to respect your sacred place. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to godly play.
Yay!
Our scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, from the New Revised Standard Version. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
Will you please join me in prayer? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the living of this day be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to start off with doing a little historical context here and a little context of John's gospel. I'd like to start with location matters. Where this story is placed in John's gospel has great significance. This incident in John's gospel occurs at the beginning, but in the other gospels, it occurs at the end. Right here in John's gospel, it occurs right after Jesus' first miracle, which was the wedding in Cana, where he turned the water into wine. And what gets Jesus killed in John's gospel is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But what gets Jesus killed in the other Gospels is this incident at the temple. And I think this resonates more with our world, because when you start messing with people's money, you're going to get killed. You know, so I think this also says a lot about the time that we live in. And given that John's account of this story was written after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, John's insistence to the community that they would find God's mercy in Christ, in a person, rather than in an actual place, I think must have given a lot of comfort to the people. And as Sarah was reading, I noticed something else about this story that resonates in John's gospel. If you notice, they kept saying, "and the Jews, and the Jews, and the Jews." John's gospel was the last gospel that was written. And so by the time that John started writing this account of Jesus, all of the antagonism was against the Jews. But in Matthew and Luke and Mark, you often hear the criticism is against the Pharisees or the church leaders. So this is also significant that by this point, when it was written, the temple was destroyed, people had fled, and so the antagonism is against the Jews. But if we find God's mercy in a person, that is Christ, what does experiencing God's mercy look like right here in our world? There are times when I've been the beneficiary of God's mercy, as I'm sure all of you have been. When I was a college student, there was a family that adopted me, and the husband came to all of my field hockey games. The wife cooked for me. They invited me to their home for the weekend. And so it was nice to have this family that could look out for me when I was so far away from home. Well, there are also times when each one of us does something merciful or kind for other people. This last week, I was up in Lake Tahoe snowboarding. I can't help but grin when I say that. But I was there Monday and Tuesday, and so what happened on Monday? There was a lot of snow. I do not have four-wheel drive. So I had to put chains on my car at the hotel. And, of course, I get a block away and my chain snaps. So I'm driving on one chain to the gas station to buy new cables because I prefer cables. They're easier. I finished installing them with my friend, and we were just about to pull out and go to the mountain, and this woman pulls up and says, "Do you know how to put chains on a car?" That's actually happened to me before, too. Another time when I actually paid $40 to put chains on, they snapped, and some woman showed up with a hoodie and three babies in the car and said, "I don't know how to put chains on," so I installed hers. I'm a pro at chains. So this woman shows up, and her mother, this woman was about my age, and it was her older mother that needed help, and so my friend and I, of course, put the chains on the car. So I'd like to think we were extending mercy. But the accusation that Jesus makes against the money changers is also different in John's gospel than in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Instead of accusing them of turning the temple into a den of robbers and thieves, in John's gospel, the anger is directed at turning the temple into a marketplace. So there's a subtle difference. It's not necessarily the cheating that bothers Jesus, but the carnival-like atmosphere. It's a three-ring circus. So when Jesus becomes angry and overturns all the tables, he says that the temple will be destroyed and in 3 days I will raise it up. Is it possible that Jesus calls for a complete overhaul or a dismantling of a system that's rather corrupt? Is there a suggestion that the temple itself is not necessary? At the center of such a theological statement is the fundamental question of God's location. Where do we find God? Is God located in the actual building in the temple, or do we encounter God elsewhere? Perhaps when Jesus refers to his body as the temple, he's reminding us that whenever we encounter Jesus in the world, there is where we find God. Throughout the week, I reflected on the idea of the temple as a body, and I had a hard time wrapping my brain around this one, because that God decided to become human was a good idea is hard for me to comprehend. I don't know about you, but I have a love-hate relationship with my body. Do all of you have a love-hate relationship with your body? I mean, I love my body when it cooperates with me. I love my body when everything's smooth, when I'm playing field hockey or snowboarding. But at times when my body's not cooperating with me, like last night, after all that food was delicious, but how many of you went home and your bellies were just, like, not cooperating? Because there was just way too much good food and dessert. I didn't like my body last night. I didn't like that bloated feeling, but it sure was worth it because this event at the church was wonderful. At other times, I can like my body when I'm doing something athletic, but when I get injured, not so much, not a fan. And one time I was snowboarding and I injured my knee, and I have a really good friend who's a double amputee. He's above the knee, which is huge when it comes to amputation. And I was griping. I was like, "Oh, my knee, I hurt it, snowboarding." And he looked at me and he's like, "I find it ironic that you're complaining about your leg to me." Sometimes we have to put things in a better perspective. I also have a dear friend. He is super obsessed with his body to the point where it makes you crazy. He goes to the gym and he has to like be perfectly cut, and he has the tiniest bit of fat I mean, that's natural. I don't care how hard you work out. He has a tiny, tiny little bit of fat, and he's like, I'm going to do something about this if I can't work this off. That kind of obsession, you know, that gets a little old. But if we take the incarnation seriously, that God loves the whole world, then what we do to our bodies is important. It matters. How we express our bodies is significant. We can't be partly human or selectively human without recognizing that our whole experience, our bodies and our souls, matter. An example that came to mind, last week I talked about this colleague that bathed a woman who had a dirty colostomy bag. You know, she said it was the most spiritual experience of her life, you know, helping this woman that no one wanted to be around and bathing her and helping her be able to sleep in this nomadic shelter. I must confess, there are times I'm not able to do that. When I worked in Humboldt County, we had a Saturday food kitchen. Like, we opened up the church and had hot meals for folks. Some of the homeless women in Humboldt County cannot get showers for months. There is one public shower, and it's in Eureka. And these women cannot get there. And I looked at this group of women, and I was so tempted to open up my house, bring them home, and let them shower. But as a person living alone, I was more terrified of the folks that would come with them. And I did not do this and came up short. What we do, how we express ourselves, how we act with our bodies is important. How does your body communicate the love of God? Our bodies matter. How do our bodies feel in those moments when we experience grace upon grace? Do you feel unburdened, light, ecstatic? When we have those experiences, our bodies feel it, and we're able to share that with other people. A good friend of mine had a saying on her refrigerator that always resonates with me, and she said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. How many of you have heard that saying before? So what we do, how we act, is important. In John's gospel, we hear the word became flesh. When we no longer have respect for our bodies, terrible things happen in the world. Bodies are shot. Bodies are injured. Bodies are gassed. Bodies are blown up. This occurs when we no longer have respect for our bodies. Finally, this scripture reading has been used to justify violence, specifically violence against people. We understand Jesus getting angry. He walked in there, did not like what he saw. I remember walking in to a friend's house after a 20-plus year relationship was destroyed by betrayal. When I walked into her house, every bit of furniture was overturned. I have never in my entire life seen that friend so angry, and I've known her for over 30 years. I have experienced anger. I know when I played field hockey, I needed a little anger management. Counseling is a good thing. I used to break field hockey sticks, lacrosse sticks, until I had to start paying for them myself. Then I suddenly learned a little self-control. But anger is, you know, how we express this, how we deal with it. We saw how Jesus dealt with it. But we have to be careful here, because if we do the exegesis on the scripture, which is basically the interpretation, looking at it from the Greek, a dear friend of mine used to teach Greek and Latin, and I gave it to him. I'm like, here, you interpret this for me. And he actually did that. He interpreted the scripture from the Greek, and the Greek reading is very clear that Jesus was not angry with people. He took the whip, and John's gospel is the only gospel where Jesus made a whip, and he drove them both out, the cattle and the sheep. It never says that Jesus directed his anger against humans. So a takeaway for me from this gospel reading, if the temple is not so much about an actual place, maybe our concept of church needs to shift a little bit. Instead of a place we come to or go to, maybe church, we should imagine it to be a place where we get sent from in order to meet with and partner with God in the world. Someone at the first service shared that at Christian Brothers School in Sacramento, there's a sign over the door that says, "Enter to learn and leave to serve." So maybe that's what we're all called to do. We enter into this holy place to come together to learn and support each other, and our job is to go out into the world and serve. Amen. I'll start with a concern this morning. Frank Chapman would like prayers for Nancy as she continues healing from a bad fall that she had. So any updates? Okay. So the wrist is pretty well broken and nose is broken and she's stitched up. There are stitches? Okay, so prayers for Nancy as she recovers from this bad fall. We lift our concern to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. And in the first service, Donna, who teaches, shared that Ryan Whitcomb, who was hospitalized at Shriners Children's Hospital, is now back home and will be back in preschool on Tuesday. So the joy that this young man was able to get treated at Shriners Hospital and is back with his friends at school, for this joy, we say, thanks be to God. Also a joy from Larry and Joyce Johnson in the first service. Brian Johnson is cancer-free for the fourth time, and he's working on getting his strength back. So for this joy, we say, thanks be to God. And another concern was Larry and Joyce. Amber Jones, their daughter-in-law, had an MRI and is good but referred to a neurologist for further tests. So for Amber Jones, we lift our concern to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. Will you please join me in prayer? Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this place where we come together to learn, and we hope to encourage each other to go out and serve. We are grateful for this day and for all the love and care in this community. We're grateful to our heritage dinner and for the courageous people that started this church and have given this church such a spirit of grace and love and kindness. We also lift up our prayers for all who are hurting today, whether it's hurting in their bodies or hurting in their souls, all who are in need of a healing touch or a kind word and care from us. May we go forth energized, emboldened to be Christ in the world for each other. And now let us pray in the way that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer hymn this morning is number 20.
Will you please join me in the sacrament of communion, which is printed in the bulletin? The Lord be with you. Let us open our hearts to the love of God. To God, you have told us, O God. You gave us a vision of a peaceable kingdom in the Garden of Eden where men and women were united to serve you. O God, what is good? Instructing your people through the prophets to be united with one another, seeking peace. Showing us a different way of living in community through Jesus Christ. Loving God, you have invited us time and time again to do what is good and right in your sight, to live the way that you intended us to live, in a community of peace and wholeness. You have given us every opportunity to return to you and embrace your vision of your reign of peace and love and justice. When we rejected your version of the peaceable kingdom, instead following our own wants and desires, you sent us Jesus Christ, who modeled for us through his actions and words a new path of justice and peace, yet we rejected him as well. But Jesus still embraces us as we share in this holy meal, remembering how on the night he gave himself up for us in love, he took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Eat this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup. And after he gave thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this and remember me." So today we gather together around this bread and the cup and remember the acts of power and loving kindness expressed through Jesus Christ. Holy God, pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. May they strengthen us to do what you require, to walk humbly with you, to love others, and to seek justice in the face of oppression, so we might be your people, proclaiming to others your kingdom. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, so receive them with thanksgiving in your heart. So I'm going to ask the communion stewards to come forward and help serve. And I'd like to remind you all that this is not the table of the United Methodist Church. It's the Lord's table. So all are welcome. Is available. So please come. Thank you. Will you please join me in the prayer after communion? Let us give thanks. Thank you, God, for life in the Spirit of Jesus, for gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give, for joy in the company of friends, for the splendors of creation, and for the mission of justice you have made our own. Give us the gifts of this Holy Communion, oneness of heart, love for neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and risen life that never ends. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So first, I'd like to thank the entire congregation for the dinner last night and the generosity and just this beautiful time of fellowship and coming together and getting to see old friends. So may we take to heart that sign that's on Christian Brothers School. May we come in to learn and go out to serve. Amen.